in terms of the central characters, I was thinking Southwestern Ontario Hoser Horror.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
You like
that? Yeah, sure.
Maybe you could just shorten that to Hoser Horror. The guys in it are, they're guys.
Yeah. Yeah, they're guys who, they're essentially, well, they're not the actual guys I grew up with, but they are inspired by myself and my circle of friends growing up in small town Ontario and doing many of the same, you know, minus the terrible things that happened in the haunted house, doing essentially the same things. That texture of the book is autobiographical, really. And so that was my growing up. That really, this novel's really, it took me five books really to get to directly mining, I guess, my own childhood in that way.
The story sort of has two eras to it.
Way back when I first conceived the story, I thought it was an either-or situation. I mean, either it was told in the present day, and there are events that are recurring in the present that our characters remember from the past, and we would get that memory indirectly, you know, through dialogue or something. That wasn't working, or at least I knew that that wouldn't work. The other option was to set it all in the past and forget about the present, that there is only kind of one story, and it's a you know, a horrific memoir of sorts. That didn't work either. So then I started just kind of, oh no, wait a minute. This story can set out on two tracks, and I'll shuffle the deck. That is, I'll sort of sort of put the cards together and tell the stories simultaneously. And the trick being, of course, that you don't learn more on one track so that it will ruin the journey of the other. And that was fun. That from a, you know, the engineer in me had a lot of fun designing that. And I think it enhances both stories at the same time, because they inform each other, as you say, but they lend suspense to it, to their own story as well as to the other. So they kind of support each other in the effect of excitement, I think.
The central character, the narrator, he's got a pretty major physical problem he's dealing with.
Yeah, he has Parkinson's, and it's obviously it's a degenerative disease, and there's no cure for it present. And I knew from the outset that I wanted Trevor to have a physical affliction. I wanted a physical manifestation of that disabled him, but in a way, but that didn't, take him out of the action entirely. And because I wanted to have him overcome something, not just overcome the past and account for his own past, but to do something heroic in the present. And that heroism may be a little more really than overcoming his own disability, but I wanted that to say something about him. And then, interestingly, the echoes or the ramifications of his disease grew over the writing of the novel, and I started to see that it had this other implication that was, I think, enhances his story, and that is, because it's degenerative, we see him in a way, even over the course of the few days of the novel, we see that his, things are getting worse for him, that his physical self is deteriorating, and I thought metaphorically that was useful, because it's universally true, you know, that we are all, at one rate or another, degenerating. This is the direction of mortality. And so, and because it's a book in a way about the first inklings of mortality, the midlife of realizing, oh, I'm no longer taking off, I'm kind of cruising at best and possibly landing, a disease like Parkinson's that slowly takes the physical self away was very poignant, I think, and a useful metaphor for me.
There is a haunted house in every boy's life, a place where all the wants he's not yet old enough to act upon or even understand can be rehearsed or hidden away, a place he fears because he can sense its endlessness.
Yeah.
Shiver down my spine.
Well, yeah, that's it for me, you know, for me and for the characters of the novel, is that the Thurman house, the haunted house, is it haunted really or not? Well, I mean, to a degree, that's for the reader to decide. Or in what way is it haunted? And is there a ghost? And to what extent does the ghost shape our living actors' actions or not? But it's a haunted house in that Every town, I think, has a small haunted house. It's true. I think every neighborhood has a haunted house because I think we need a space to project our fears onto, a place to maybe hope that, well, if that place remains empty and we just cross the street and avoid it, our children cannot be hurt. We cannot be hurt. It'll all stay there. Or in the case of the characters in The Guardians, the desire, you know, adolescent male desire is this very wild and uncontrolled and confusing feeling, sexual desires particularly. And so these characters, in a way, are projecting different prism versions of their own unrealized sexual desire onto this blank space, this empty space in which they imagine sexual acts that are either frightening to them or ones that they would like to participate in themselves.
Or both,
right? You know, it's fear and sex and death. And so, yeah, I mean, I knew at a very early point, well, if you're going to write a haunted house story that's really about male friendship, the haunting must have a sexual dynamic.
The book is The Guardians. I've been speaking with the author Andrew Piper and The Guardians, published by Doubleday Canada.